Good afternoon. This is now the fifth talk number five, on the crucifixion of personal sins. By now we have covered the crucifixion of personal thoughts, personal words, a personal mind in our meditation, so that we might receive in its place the mind which was in Christ Jesus, and receive impartations, the thoughts of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, yet you may receive my thoughts in the mind which was in Christ Jesus. And we have learned to crucify a personal sense of people, the people around us that we are so quick to judge, that the human mind is so quick to judge, criticize, and condemn. That must be crossed out within us, so that we might receive in its place the knowing that I, Christ, thou, Christ, there is but one presence, and that is God itself made manifest, so that we might see behind the mental images, so that we, like Joel, may finally say, it's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it. I see into the invisible. I see the true identity. I have come to know it first in myself, and now I see it in everyone. And we have come to see that we have to crucify a personal sense of life, of body, of supply, of companionship, so that we might receive in its place a temple not made with hands, an immortal life, an infinite supply, an omnipresent presence, a comforter that will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, if we have followed this up to this point, and if we have done this up to this point, then we stand as an immortal, an eternal being, one with the Father, witnessing God itself manifest, witnessing one being, one life, receiving impartations from omniscience, from the one mind, and resting in an awareness of the one Christ body, the one Christ life. Yet there is one final step to take to complete this crucifixion of personal sins. And that's what we're going to try to talk about today. For we may still look around and see a material universe. We may look and see storms or pleasant, comfortable weather. We may still look out and see a material sense of trees, bushes, flowers. We may still look out and see a material sense of our cat or dog. We may still look out and see mountains, a moon, a sun, stars. We may see waves on the ocean, feel wind in the trees. We may see clouds. We may see minerals, plants, animals, structural beings called men and women and children. We may still see babies being born and the elderly passing on. We may still have to take the step which crosses out, crucifies the entire material universe. Now, this talk today, if you are listening to it, is assuming that you are not a beginner on this path. It's assuming that you have left behind those early days of demonstrating an increase in your income or an improvement in your health or a better companion. It's assuming that you have left behind demonstrating conditions of harmony, conditions of abundance, turning lack into abundance. It's assuming that you have done all that, but you are ready to leave that behind. It's assuming that you are really ready to die completely to a personal sense of self. If you haven't done that, if you have not reached the place where you are ready to go beyond that, that of demonstrating people, places, and things, to the dissolving of the entire material universe, then perhaps you need to set this aside for a while. But if you are ready, if you really honestly are, you know how to demonstrate improvement in the human scene, but you know there's something beyond this, something more, something that Christ hinted at and Joel hinted at, then let us continue now. Way back in 1947, when this book came out, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, Joel said this. He gave you the secret. And I'm going to read it as he wrote it. I want you all to understand the great secret of the universe. Now remember, we are here to discover how to crucify a material sense of universe. And so, I want you all to understand the great secret of the universe. Had the ancients known it, our modern living would be as in a paradise. If we learn it in this age, we can help to usher in the new millennium. The few who have known this secret in past ages could not teach it. And it would appear that only a very few have the spiritual discernment, the spiritual capacity to grasp its meaning. What we are about to reveal has been grasped by very, very few. Some few understood it intellectually, But rarely was it understood in its spiritual significance. I am not a dreamer of idle dreams, but I have a vision of eternal life. I would not have you sitting on a cloud or anchored with your feet on the ground. My idea and my ideal is that you be rooted and grounded in truth, that you be fed with spiritual meat, and that you drink waters from the wellsprings of eternal spirit and soul. And so the secret which has been so rarely understood is the spiritual meat and drink. And the secret is this: the life which you behold, which you see in man, tree, or animal, is not the life which is God. Human, animal, or plant life is not a manifestation of God. In other words, God does not manifest as human, animal, or plant. Therefore, the life which is God, human, animal, or plant life, is not a manifestation of God, and therefore is not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. We know that, don't we? Which of you have looked upon a human being and seen that human being live forever? None of us. If you have a garden, which one of your plants live forever? If you've had a pet, which one of your pets have lived forever? None. So it can't be immortal. So let's read it again. The secret, that which has been so rarely understood, is that the life which you behold in man, tree, or animal is not the life which is God. Human, animal, or plant life is not a manifestation of God, and therefore is not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. The life of material man or flower is mortal sense objectified. It is a false sense of the life which is real. In other words, your life, from the moment you can remember, after being born, from the very first second you remember, whether it was your mother holding you, whether it was somebody slamming a door, whether somebody was tickling you, whether it was your first day of school, whatever you first remember is a material sense of real life. It's a false sense of real life. In other words, if the senses show it to you, well, let's just say it like it is. Every experience you've ever had from the cradle up to this moment is not life and did not happen. It's mortal sense or a material sense of universe. And all of it must be crossed out, crucified. The good and the bad. Oh, he tells you that. We don't want to hear it, though. We read it and we go, oh, yeah, okay, and we skip it by. But over and over again, in different places in the writings and in his talks, he says, well, eventually you're going to have to do the same thing with the good. Because the entire belief, the belief in evil and good, the belief in good and evil, must be crossed out, crucified. And so are you ready to take this step? Are you really ready to leave all and follow me? Are you ready to grapple with this fact that your life from the cradle up until this moment has been a dream? That there is another life in your very midst which you have not known, nor seen, nor felt? Let us read a little more. The life of material man or flower is mortal sense objectified. It's a material sense of universe appearing. But the material sense is not coming from the mind of God. It's not coming through the mind which was in Christ Jesus. That's world mind. World mind flowing through your material sense, or through a material sense of universe, has been living where you are, showing you millions upon millions of pictures. But that's a false sense of the life which is real. There's another life. You have another life. The understanding of this truth will enable you to look away from the objects of sense. What is he saying? He's saying that when you really feel the rightness of this, if you take this into your meditation many, many times, as I have, as others have, wow! Everything the senses have shown me from the cradle to this moment are a false sense of an invisible creation. Oh my God, there's an invisible creation here. All right, then, let me be still. Let me cross out, crucify that personal sense mind, and let me listen for an impartation. Father, reveal your creation. This is a spiritual universe. Let me see it. Let me feel it. Let me sense it. And now let me listen, that you may reveal your spiritual creation. Well, after you've done that a few times and begun to have glimpses, that's what he means when he says the understanding, we should change that to the having had glimpses of this truth will enable you to look away from the material universe of sense. It will enable you to refrain from attempting to heal, correct, or reform that false sense of universe or false sense of existence. And as soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the false sense of existence, the spiritual or real universe begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. What is he saying? He's saying, are you willing to cross out, crucify the entire material sense of universe? Stop trying to do anything with it? Because if you are, what will come to you, what you will receive in its place, is the spiritual sense of universe. It will unfold and reveal itself to you in your inner temple. And first you will see it within. After a time you will see it without. That's right, you heard me. Your eyes will be open. You'll be sitting on a bus bench. Someone will be sitting next to you. They will see and live in a material sense of universe. You will see and live in a spiritual sense of universe. And you will be even talking back and forth. It's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Yes, it is. But you will be living in two different universes. And that's a fact. So again, the understanding, or when you begin to have glimpses of this in your, you see, understanding doesn't mean intellectual understanding of this. That won't do anything. Throw that away. It's a useless tool. It's a personal sense of mind. Throw it away. For this purpose, you need to go deeper. So when he says the understanding, he means you will have experiences. You will have glimpses. And so, having had glimpses of this truth, that the life of material man or flower is a false sense of life, a false sense of universe, that will enable you to look away from all objects of sense. People, places, things, mountains, stars, rainbows, beautiful days, storms, horrible car crashes, beautiful waterfalls, horrible diseased, disfigured bodies, beautiful newborn babies, all of this. Everything from the moment you were born, from the cradle up to this moment. Having had glimpses of this new universe will enable you to look away from the objects of sense and to refrain from attempting to heal, correct, or reform it. And as soon as you reach that place, you have conquered the desire to heal or improve a material sense of universe. Then the spiritual, real universe begins to unfold and reveal itself to you in your midst. You cannot behold or experience eternal life, its harmonies and beauties, or the real spiritual creation, while accepting the evidence of your senses as if it were God's creation. Now, my dear friends, that wipes out the entire earth and everything on it, doesn't it? It wipes out your entire past life from the cradle to this moment. It wipes out the entire life of everyone you thought you knew. It wipes out the material structure of plants, animals, people, things. It wipes out the planet, the planets. It wipes out galaxies, universes. It is the crucifixion of personal mind, personal body, personal lifetime. It wipes out your incarnation. You are not in an incarnation, nor have you ever been. We just wiped that out, crucified it, crossed it out. Did you know you were going to cross out and crucify your present incarnation while standing right here? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Says Joel, do not take lightly what I am saying here. This is the great revelation, capital G, capital R, great revelation. This knowledge will clarify for you the Master's statement. My kingdom is not of this world, or my spiritual universe has nothing to do with what the senses are showing you, or have shown you. It will reveal to you the secret of John the Revelator, who beheld the universe, another universe, which is not made by hands, but which is eternal. So there's another secret universe, my friends, in your midst, in which you live and move and have your being. It's a universe not made by hands. It's not material. It has no structure. But it is eternal and immortal, and you dwell in it. It is consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, soul revealing itself. In fact, and indeed, it is the second chapter of Genesis crossed out and crucified. It is instead an invisible universe which has existed behind this false one, which is not made with hands, which is consciousness appearing, which is the first chapter of Genesis. You know now a very important secret. You know that the crucifixion and the resurrection and ascension are not something that happen in the future. They are not something that happened to you after you die physically. Now you understand the depths of this spiritual path you are on. You willingly, with God's help, cross out, crucify a personal mind, a personal life, a personal supply, a personal companion, a personal health, a personal body. And finally, you cross out and crucify a personal incarnation. There is none. Now, at this point, he says, the spiritual real creation begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. You are resurrected out of a personal sense of existence. I mean out of all of it. You peek into a new universe. A universe not made with hands. A universe made of light. Light. And a universe that has in it the mind which was in Christ Jesus. It has the Christ body of light. And you ascend up into it. And live as a beholder, as consciousness expresses itself, as Christ. Consciousness expresses as the real spiritual creation. God itself pouring forth as invisible flesh, and you are that, in your body of light. That is ascension out of this world. And it takes place right here. It's an inner ascension. No one around you, that person on the bus bench, does not even know you have made it. No one around you knows. And they shouldn't. Unless you reach a point where you're teaching, and like Joel, you can say, you know, it wasn't easy to stop seeing this world, but, and to stop seeing people, and to stop seeing a material sense of universe, and to stop seeing an incarnation, but I finally made it. Now listen again to this portion of the New Horizon in the Infinite Way and see if Joel was not telling us just exactly what we just said. But perhaps we couldn't hear it then. Now we can, if you have ears to hear. Listen. Above this sense life, now we understand that to mean above and behind the material sense of universe. Above this sense life, there is another universe, a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This universe is real and permanent or eternal. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it, there is no awareness of discords, nor even an awareness of temporary material good. How many times have we read, "In the kingdom there is neither life nor death, neither sickness nor health, neither lack nor abundance." And yet, we read right over those words because we were in a hurry to find some principle, some truth, with which we could demonstrate a fix for our finances. Oh, come on, how many years will it take you to crucify, come up over, and ascend into that which God prepared for you before the world was? Joel did it. Why not we? God's no respecter of persons. The only criteria, according to Joel, is how bad do you want it? Now, he's going to tell you here how to have the first glimpse of that real universe. And he says it like this. The first glimpse of reality, of the soul realm, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization, now this is not the intellectual understanding. No, no. When he uses the word realization, he refers to that spiritual discernment, that which makes you catch your breath. Oh, when you recognize and realize at depth, you're not in an incarnation. There is no structural universe. That is realization. So he says, how do you get this first glimpse of the invisible spiritual universe? Well, with the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its bad, is illusion, come the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit that spiritual universe. All right? Now, that's just what he wrote over here in Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture. When you have that inner realization that everything you have ever seen, tasted, touched, smelt, or felt from the cradle to this moment is a dream, is a product of a false sense of some invisible universe, then you'll stop trying to fix it or repair it or practice a spiritual principle that will improve it. Then you will be willing to cross it out, at first only in your meditation. At first only in your meditation are you able to say, there is no material universe. Yes, I know the senses have reported one these 55 years, but there is none. That's a false sense of an invisible spiritual creation. I know it. I feel it. I may not have seen it. I feel it. Sometimes in my meditations, I touch it. I want more of it. I'm ready to cross this out. Stop trying to fix it or improve it. He says over here, the experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There's no attachment anymore to any person, place, or thing in this world, and no desire to hold on to it. Probably because, to a great extent, this experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. All right, so that means you must be at that place, as we said earlier, where you are ready for this third degree, this you're ready to pass out of a second degree of trying to patch up and improve the world. While you're even willing to leave behind your loved ones and follow me into the kingdom. You have no more attachment. You are ready to cross out and crucify your entire incarnation as having no existence. Then, in your meditation, you may cry out, Father, reveal the spiritual creation. Open my eyes to that invisible world of light. Show me this consciousness expressing. And in the silence, in the desperation of that call, and the waiting upon the Lord, you have a glimpse. And what is the glimpse like? Well, at first, he says, we cannot speak of it. There's a sense of, touch me not. I am not yet ascended. I am still between the two universes. Do not touch me or make me speak of it. It may drag me back. Let me be free to rise. And when I am completely free of this world and its pictures, I will tell you of many things of this invisible spiritual universe which eyes have not seen nor ears heard. So he says the first glimpse of the heaven here and now is the beginning of the ascension for us. And this ascension is understood as a rising above conditions and experiences, good or bad, of this world. And we behold the many mansions prepared for us in spiritual consciousness, that is, in our awareness of this invisible reality. Okay, so you see the step you have to take? Now, what is it you're going to be stepping into? Well, we said you're going to be stepping into first having glimpses and then stepping into a spiritual universe. The first chapter of Genesis, where God said, let there be light, and there was light. You're going to step into the real creation, and the real creation is incorporeal. Incorporeal. Listen to what Joel says in this chapter, Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe, in the book Beyond Words and Thoughts, because here, again, he hints at what you must do, or rather, what you must realize. Without spiritual intuition, or discernment, or real realization, you judge only by appearances, which is to say, you look only through a material sense of universe. Unless you have the spiritual vision that can perceive beyond the physical senses and see incorporeal man, incorporeal woman, see trees, fruits, and crops all as incorporeal, even though you entertained a material sense of them, well, then the crippled man is going to stay a crippled man, and the woman taken in adultery is going to be the woman taken in adultery. Yes. Don't you see what healing really is? It's the ability, I'm telling you, to see into the invisible, and there behold the incorporeal body, which was made by God and is eternal. The student who has not succeeded in the spiritual ministry, either in healing persons, demonstrating supply, or bringing forth other kinds of fruitage, has failed because he has had an incorporeal God called Spirit. And he was trying to make it manifest corporeally. And there is no corporeal creation. It is you who is entertaining a corporeal sense of an incorporeal creation. All right? Now, with the words we've been using today, that means this. There is no material universe. There is no incarnation. It's you entertaining a material sense of an invisible incorporeal creation, an invisible spiritual creation. Or let's put it another way. Let's go back to our good friend, John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John here is telling you that there is a universe of light, and that the light shines constantly. This universe is always immortal and eternal, and the darkness comprehends it not. He is telling you that consciousness formed itself and forms itself continuously, forever, without end, in this eternal spiritual light creation. Don't you see that the Word, the light of God, was manifest as infinite invisible flesh, and it never became material? It never incarnated? Don't you see? All of that is a world belief, a series of world beliefs, seeing a material universe where only the consciousness expressing its light body is appearing. And don't you see that Joel did not want to shock everybody, so he wove this into his books. Not that he did it personally, but that mind which was in Christ Jesus hid it in various places, even as it did while speaking through Jesus. Don't you see, as he said, the message is not really veiled, it's just hidden. It takes a transcendental consciousness to uncover it. And don't you see that that transcendental consciousness is speaking to you today and telling you how you must go the full route? Really and truly crucify a personal sense of being to come into the Christ sense of being, to come into the first chapter of Genesis, where there is no belief in good and evil appearing as a material creation, or as an incarnation, or as a personal sense of life. And don't you see that you're dwelling in that impersonal, spiritual, light creation, light body, light mind, light being? That just the resting in that and allowing it to manifest is what dissolves everything unlike itself? And don't you see that's what we call a healing over on this side of the veil? Now John told us that the light, this light, coming from the light universe, shineth in darkness, that is, through to us. And the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's the true light which lights everyone that cometh into being, that God manifested. Now this light was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see, this light is in every single being, because there's only one being, and it's the being of light. But we do not see ourselves or experience that, do we? We're still on this side of the veil, trying to patch up this false sense of creation. But here and there, someone in our meditation, one of us in our meditation, receives this light, don't we? What happens when we receive the light? Well, as many as receive this light, to them he gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on him. Because they are born now, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now they are born of the light. And the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And you and I behold the glory of this light made manifest, full of grace and truth. That's what happens. Now, Jesus showed this to very few. If you're hearing this message today and you are in any way have the capacity to receive it, then you have the power to become the sons of God. And let me tell you, very few on earth are at that point of readiness. And if you are one of them, you are blessed beyond all men and women. Now, there weren't many when Jesus was here, but there were three that he hoped were ready. And so he showed them, not with words, he showed them in consciousness. And it says, after 6 days, and of course that's the 6 days of labor preparing you for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is when you rest in this immortal spiritual being of light. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. He lifted them up in consciousness above a material sense of universe. And suddenly he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard that, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came, touched them gently, and said, "Arise, be not afraid." You see, he gave them a glimpse, didn't he, of this, well, as Joel put it, above the sense life, there is another universe, governed by love. It's the universe of light. It's the first chapter of Genesis. It's what God made for you before the world was. And in it, you are transfigured. In it, your face shines as the sun. Your body is a body of light. In it, you can hear this mind, this voice, which says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let us look at one more thing before we complete this talk today. Understand, my friends, fully that suggestion, belief, universal beliefs, a material sense of universe, a hypnotism, is the substance or fabric of the whole material universe. All human conditions, good and evil, are dream pictures, having no reality or permanence whatsoever. So now be willing to crucify, cross out. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence, a material universe, a personal sense, to disappear from your experience in order that reality may now be known and enjoyed and lived. If you remember, Joel said he received this as an impartation. In fact, he had been meditating and he fell asleep. And somewhere in the middle of the night, suddenly his eyes opened and a scroll appeared at the foot of his bed up near the ceiling. And it unfolded and rolled down, and he looked and began to read, and it was a red scroll, and upon it were gold letters. And that was the entire chapter, the New Horizon, telling us we must press on for this new universe ever in our midst. And so overwhelmed was he that he broke down crying as he transcribed what was appearing. And when he finished writing it all down, it rolled up and disappeared. So I'm telling you, my friends, this is not something I made up. This is not something that just should be a curiosity or something to fascinate yourself with or occasionally read or listen to or pass on for those to hear that aren't in the least bit ready. No. These are the instructions that wrap up or complete the series of talks called Crucifying Personal Sense. And if you have ears to hear, and if you have the courage to leave all and follow me, and if you have the willingness and the readiness to ascend out of this incarnation, even while standing right here, then you will discover you have never been on earth. You have never incarnated. You have simply entertained a material sense of existence. And the crucifixion was something you required of yourself in order that you may come consciously into the awareness that you dwell in a body of light, in a universe not made with hands, in an eternal, immortal self that was never born, never incarnated, and never dies. That you are ever one with the Father. That you live in this invisible, incorporeal universe, in an invisible, incorporeal self, ever one with an invisible, incorporeal Father. That consciousness expresses itself as infinite, invisible flesh, and I, the I of you, am that. Now this must be much, much more than a set of words or an interesting philosophy. You must pass through the initiation of crucifying, crossing out the entire material universe. And in its place you will receive the temple not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. You shall receive your immortal body of light, which shineth like the sun, and is in his image and likeness. That concludes this series of talks. Oh, my blessed friends, please go and do likewise. This was Joel's legacy, which he received directly from Christ in meditation, and I received in meditation from Christ, as well as from looking at what Joel left behind for us. And now Joel is in this kingdom. Jesus is in this kingdom. Elijah is in this kingdom. John, Paul, and many, many others. Here they have left behind an open door. I am the door. Walk ye in it. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Amen.